All right, our scripture today comes from Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 8. You guys knew this, right? This was coming. Next week, if you like to read the Bible, next week you can read verses 12 through 17. That's the compromising church. I look forward to preaching next week about the compromising church. This week, my title of my little section here, I have the New King James Version, and they title these sections. And my section this week is titled, The Persecuted Church. You'll notice there's nothing negative written to this church. Last week, what was the negative thing that was written? Does anybody remember? You have left your first love. And that outweighed, if you weren't here, that outweighed everything else. It outweighed all the good things. You have left Jesus, your first love. So this week, the persecuted church. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And may God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing and the doing of His holy word. And God's people said, Amen. So this is the second church, the second letter. And for you who weren't here last week, We learned that the letters to all the churches were on a scroll that would be unwound, and every letter to every church received all 7 letters. And so the church in Smyrna, they were able to read about the church in Ephesus. Remember, last week was the church in Ephesus. And they read about the church in Ephesus that You left your first love. And the church in Smyrna had to be thinking, we've had people in our church too who've left their first love, but they're not in the church anymore. You see, the church in Ephesus, they left their first love, but they were still gathering together as a church. The church in Smyrna, who no longer loved Jesus, who no longer followed Jesus, why would they come to church? Why wouldn't they come to church, the church in Smyrna? Because they were persecuted. It makes me think of a story that Francis Chan tells, and he's in this country where they're not allowed to practice Christianity, and these people were coming up to him going, look at this scar right here. Someone hit me with a machete because they busted into our church and they started attacking everyone. And it's healed now, but this scar reminds me what it costs to follow Jesus. And Francis said to the people there, well, do you guys have people who come to church who you say, oh, they're not really Christians? And they said, no, why would anyone do that? Do you have people who come to your church who aren't serious about their faith? And they say, why would anyone do that? You would not do that because there's too steep a price to pay by gathering together. We never know when someone's going to burst in and attack us with machetes. If that were, if we ran that risk here, there would probably be 150 people in church today. If we ran that risk here, how many people do you think would be in church today? There wouldn't be 150, I can guarantee you. Because we say, oh, I don't have to go to church. I can worship Jesus from home. That's what we would say, right? All right. All that was free. That wasn't in my notes. Here's the background on the Church of Smyrna. Last week, I said the Church of Ephesus was one of the three most important churches in Asia. Well, this is one of the other three most important, or one of the three most important cities in Asia. Smyrna is another of the three most important cities in Asia. Smyrna was located on the summit of a hill. Have you ever seen any of those pictures from Europe that have like a port? Maybe you've been to some of them, but they have like a port, and then along the hill, it's like a crown with all these houses. I'm thinking Italy or Greece or Monaco. And this was what Smyrna was like. It was a port city, and all the buildings around the hillside looked like a crown overlooking the port. It was built 1,000 years before. This city was built 1,000 years before Jesus. 1,000 B.C. This is going to be a really interesting point, so that hopefully you can remember this or write this note down in your Bible. But it was destroyed 400 years later, about 600 B.C. The city laid in ruin, destroyed for 300 years. Until in 300 B.C., a general of... Have you heard of Alexander the Great? A general of Alexander the Great rebuilt the city 300 years before Christ. And so it was a matter of pride that this city had died and now it lives again. Do you remember the scripture we read? What it said? These things says the first and the last, who was dead and who came to life. Isn't that interesting that God would describe Himself in those terms? It's something that city could relate to. We were dead and we have come back to life. Jesus was dead and He came back to life. So it was a matter of pride that the city had died and was alive again. This is 25 to 30 miles from Ephesus. The coins that they had said, first city of Asia. Different cities, I guess, were arguing over who was the first city of Asia. I know Cumberland's called the Queen City, right? Because Baltimore was the King City, and Cumberland at one time apparently was the second largest city in Maryland. At one time. Smyrna also boasted that they were the birthplace of the Greek poet Homer, was born in Smyrna. And today, the city is Izmir, Turkey. The city is still there today. It's Izmir, Turkey. So the word Smyrna, it's used three times in the New Testament. There's not a letter. Last week, we talked about the church at Ephesus. The church of Ephesus, there's a letter written. And it's a book in our Bible. It's the book of Ephesians. We don't have a book of Smyrnians. Right? That sounds weird to say. Smyrnians. There's not really a whole lot of mention in the Bible about the city of Smyrna. But there's three times that the word Smyrna is used in the New Testament. The wise men, this is going to freak you out, the wise men brought gold, frankincense, and Smyrna. The real word for myrrh was Smyrna, and they shortened it to myrrh. At the crucifixion, they offered Jesus wine mixed with Smyrna, myrrh, for his pain. And at the burial, Nicodemus and Joseph placed aloes and Smyrna in the linens that they wrapped Jesus in. Smyrna is just another way to say myrrh, and it's used for embalming and anesthetic, and it made this city very wealthy. And so Smyrna was an ally of Rome. Long before Rome came into power, I know this is more teaching, but I hope that I'm maintaining your attention and you're interested here. Long before Rome came into power, Smyrna could see the way things were going. The city could see this momentum building for Rome. And so they sort of thought, we want to, I don't know, there's a term that you use about fastening your something to the fast, I don't know, there's a term I can't think of right now, but they hitched their wagon to what they could see was going to be the strongest, fastest, most powerful horse. Does that make sense? And so they sort of get into I won't use that phrase. They get into they get into bed with Rome. They really love Rome. And as Rome came into power, Rome did a lot of good things for Smyrna. They got rid of the pirates. They built roads. They developed a system of law. And Smyrna loved Rome. And they so loved Rome that they came up with this phrase, the Roman spirit. They loved the Roman spirit. And they worshipped the Roman spirit. And it's not like spirit, like it's, you know, like the American spirit. You know what that is, right? They had this Roman spirit. And the church in Smyrna, they loved this Roman spirit. And spirit's not like a thing that hovers around. It's just like this. And so they started, it was hard to worship a spirit, a Roman spirit. We sort of translate that in America to the flag, don't we? We love the flag. Some people would say that they worship the flag. And so it was hard to worship a Roman spirit or a thought. So they started saying the emperor. They started worshiping the emperor of Rome. And this isn't the church. This is the people of Smyrna. They start worshiping this emperor, the Roman emperor. And so it gets to the point where, like Caesar, he didn't want to be worshiped at first. But then it started to grow on him. And then he rather started to enjoy it. People bowing down to you. People saying, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. And they would come up and burn a little bit of incense for Caesar. And so this led, and so it didn't even really start out as religion. It was patriotism in Smyrna. Do you get that? It was patriotism. Well, this became a problem for the church. Because the church in Smyrna was unwilling to say, what do you think they were unwilling to say? Caesar is Lord. I can't say Caesar is Lord. Who's Lord? Jesus. Jesus is Lord. That was the first creed. You know, they came up with the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. The first creed was three words: Jesus is Lord. And now Rome, the people of Rome are saying Caesar is Lord. And the church in Smyrna says we can't say that. And we can't burn incense to Caesar. And we can't bow down to Caesar. We only bow before the Lord. And one day you all will. So why don't you come over to our side? Well, I read a book one time. I can't remember the title of the book. But the guy wrote in the book, Rome was defeated the day that the first person who said, I will not say Caesar is Lord, when that first person was martyred and beheaded, the church defeated Rome that day. When the first Christian came to the point of, we're going to kill you if you don't confess Caesar Lord, and they said, and the person said, Jesus is Lord. And in your whole lifetimes, you've never seen anything like it until in the past year. I mean, it's gone on, but you haven't seen it. You haven't heard about it. It hasn't made the news until in the past year. You all know what I'm talking about, right? When these men are being lined up and they will not deny Jesus Christ. And God says, to you who overcome, to you who remain... Isn't it so sad that this is falling off the radar now? Now people are still being killed over there. It's just... Yeah, we've seen that movie before. Does anybody else feel bad we're not causing a ruckus about it? We could have a rally at the high school for Christian martyrs around the world, and we'd be lucky if 50 people showed up. We have a friend they are just now adopting their second child from China. And our friend met someone from China in the airport over there. And do you know what the person from China told our friend who's American? Do you know what we pray for America? They said persecution. We pray for persecution for you in America. Because that's what it's going to take to wake you up. Persecution. Now, you know, when I was here for 2 years and I never preached about homosexuality in 2 years I was here. But then the United States Supreme Court legalized gay marriage in our country, telling the states... Do you know the states are supposed to run the government? The government's not supposed to run the states. Did you know that? We are no longer a bunch of states running a government. We are now a government running a bunch of states. And so when they passed this law saying that homosexuality is a constitutional right, I had to speak about it. If something's happening in the world, the church cannot remain silent. Oh, someone give me an amen. If something's happening out there, we can't go along just because the world's going that way. The world's going to hell. Somebody say amen. There's a broad path that leads to destruction. And there's a narrow way that leads to life, and few will find it. And so I had to speak on it. Because, not because I beat a drum about it, but because it came to my doorstep. And it's... Well, that's all I'll say about that. Isn't it strange that 2 months ago I decided to preach on Revelation, and here we are at the persecuted church, and what's in the news? The woman who wouldn't issue the licenses. You know, I don't even think that that's a battle that I want to... Like, I don't know how you feel about that. I sort of feel like her play was to resign. That's how I feel about it. Her play was to resign. Now, I understand why she's not, because it's an $80,000 a year job. That's twice what I make. That's a good job. $80,000 a year plus benefits. It's tough to give that up, isn't it? But it's coming to me. What's the old thing when in World War II, when the so-and-sos were taken, I remained silent. When this happened, I remained silent. When this happened, I remained silent. And now that it's at my doorstep, there's no one to speak for me. It's coming. I don't know if it's coming in my lifetime. There's a cardinal, or I think it's a cardinal in the Catholic Church from Chicago, and he said, I'm going to die in my bed. The person who follows me is going to die in jail. And the person who follows him is going to die as a martyr in the public square. And then the church will rebuild society as it always has. We need to speak for the persecuted. We need to pray for the persecuted. And I don't mean people who complain because we're not persecuted because people complain that we're saying the Lord's Prayer at a football game. I'm talking about like the people in Smyrna who were persecuted being boiled in oil. Like, there's so much more I have, and I guess if you, Logan, are coming to 11 o'clock church, you'll hear a lot of different stuff. I got to end this. I got somewhere to go, and I'm guessing so do you. Let's pray. God, we are so, so thankful for our freedom. We don't even know how thankful we truly are. But we thank you for our freedoms. And we turn our attention to those who are being beaten and killed for the name of Jesus. And sometimes it's difficult for us to understand why you would let that happen. But then we're reminded of the famous old saying that the blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. And so we pray for those in other lands who are gathering together this day, risking their lives. We pray for them that they would overcome, that they would stand fast. And I'm embarrassed to say that I think I speak for the majority here when I say we thank you that that's not us. And we're sorry for feeling that way, and we're sorry for ignoring our brothers and sisters who are putting their lives on the line for you. So we pray that you would help us every day to pray for them. We give you thanks and praise for this reminder this morning. In Christ's name, amen.